today on Family Talk.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and we are all aware of how bad the divorce statistics in the United States currently are. Right now, one out of every two couples that are married will end up getting divorced. But did you know that with the right planning and work ahead of time, that you can lower your chances of divorce dramatically? That's what we're going to continue to talk about today. So if you're married or getting ready for marriage, or know someone who is, this program is for you. A couple of months ago, I sat down with two good friends of mine, Jim Burns and Doug Fields. Jim officiated my wedding to Laura, and I worked with him, and I worked with Doug Fields at Saddleback Church, where he used to be. They're both now at Homeward, and Jim is the executive director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University, and Doug is the senior director for the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. They both live in Southern California with their families, and the two of them have recently co-written a book together we're going to continue talking about today. It's titled Getting Ready for Marriage, A Practical Roadmap for Your Journey Together. Yesterday, we began to talk about their book, and today we're going to dive into the more practical specifics that will help any young couple begin their marriage on the right foot. So let's get to the program now. Here is Jim Burns and Doug Fields on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. You know the Bengards, Jim,
sure.
And a bunch of their kids were in youth group when I was with you, Doug. They were my red flag checker. I knew I didn't know what I was doing. I had made a bunch of mistakes. I had gotten into some relationship problems, and I wasn't. I remember Betty Wakeling, who Jim introduced me to, she's a counselor, said, "Your picker is broken. You got a broken picker." And I did. I had a broken picker. I kept going down the wrong path, and I couldn't figure it out because the people I was dating were from different lifestyles, and they had different careers, and they good fam. I mean, these things that I thought was going to help me get a right person. She said, "Your picker's broken." So the Bengards were my checker, and we made a deal. I wasn't allowed to go out with a girl more than three times unless they met her.
That's great.
Upon meeting her, if they didn't think it was right, that was it. It was over on the spot. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, it was really tough.
Yeah.
It was really hard. I remember, man, they had, goodness gracious, Travis has grown up now. My goodness, he's could be a model. He's got an amazing singing voice. And I mean, they're just such an amazing family. But I had been dating this girl and she had come over and they had met her and I really thought they were going to like her. And something happened and I was like, uh-oh. And my little red flag went up and I thought, I wonder what they're going to say. I hadn't talked to Tom and Kim yet. That's the parents. I was there with their junior hire, Travis, who at that time was taller than me, weighed more than me, had a deeper voice than me. I mean, it was just that I was jealous, let me tell you. And I was over babysitting him. And he said, "That girl you brought over is pretty cute." And I was like, "Thanks." And he goes, "But I think it's not going to work out."
Amazing.
And I was like, "What?" And he said something that was so profound. I knew at that moment it was over. I waited until his parents told me, but they said the exact same thing. This junior hire was like, "Yeah, man, she's cute." And that's put you in the blind spot. That has shaded everything else. And it was true. I had a blind spot.
Well, it's what we say, and Doug alluded to this, and you gave a great illustration, is we've got to ask our community. We've gotten away from that.
Yeah.
But the people who know us and love us the most, you know, in another world, I had lunch on this last past Saturday with a couple from India, and they actually had an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
So they met and then they fell in love after marriage. And I'm not suggesting that's going to ever happen, you know, in the U.S. and most of the Western culture. But the fascinating side to it is, you know, parents basically pick that. Well, why can't we allow community, like you trusted the Bengards, why can't we allow community to speak into our life? Because as you mentioned, Doug, we are kind of blind. When you fall in love or somebody's cute, you think this person is handsome or cute or whatever, you lose sight of some of the intentionality of making a commitment for a lifetime that's going to have to carry all these other things. So I appreciate you talking about the red flags because I think it's a big deal.
Ryan, you have the book sitting next to you, but what's coming out right now is a workbook. And in that workbook, we have several exercises. So the book is kind of the, you both read it together, information. The workbook is we want couples to do it on their own.
That's a bolt.
And and in there, we actually have an exercise about what do others say. And really kind of forcing who are the safe people in your life? What are they saying? What red flags do they see? You know, the workbook is only as good as the honesty you'll put in it. And so if they're honest about that, I think it's a real good exercise to go, now what does everybody say?
Sure.
I'm not directing all my relationships based on other people's opinion, but who are those safe, safe people? My daughter's 25 and she's been in a relationship for 2 years and it's moving toward marriage. And she would come, what do you guys think? What do you guys think? Do you still like him?
Ooh.
You know, do you see anything? Because if you don't...
My hands are sweating because I'm going to have that pressure. You know what I mean? That's some serious parenting pressure.
Here's what Kathy and I love. We love the fact that she cares.
Yes.
You know, that she respects us enough to ask our opinion because not every kid will. But I think she's smart. She's smart to, you know, she asks her brother, close friends. It's important. Do you see anything in us that we're not seeing ourselves?
Yeah. And, Definitely. You know, you get ready for marriage when she was seven, like Lincoln is seven. When she was seven, you guys were already beginning to teach her and train her about relationships. And again, you're speaking to a seven-year-old, so you're not exactly talking about heavy-duty stuff. But we've got to, as parents, even with younger kids, we've got to make them feel comfortable in an environment so that when they are 25, they're going to say, Mom and Dad, what do you think?
Yeah.
So really getting ready for marriage isn't just the day they see somebody that they like. It's actually as parents, it's helping them navigate that by talking to them about healthy sexuality. You know, all studies show that the most, you know, profound and most influential people in a kid's life when it comes to healthy sexuality is their parents.
Yep.
But parents don't talk about it. Well, you know, I write books on this. I'm still awkward when I talk to my kids.
My wife and I are reading your book on talking to your kids about sex at about 7 or 8 because Lincoln is 8.
Right.
And we're reading it right now together. Yeah. And we're going through it.
But see, when you're doing that with Lincoln at 7, then you get the benefit that Doug and his wife, Kathy, have at 25 where he has three amazing kids. But the 25-year-old daughter is saying, what do you think about this, you know, lifelong partner that I might be having?
Yeah. Absolutely. I know there's a lot of people listening right now that are in those early, early marriage years, and they didn't see the red flags ahead of time, and now they're going, uh-oh, we do have some of those red flags. I don't want to wait till it's too late to get counseling, but what do you do when you're in your first year of marriage, and it was just bliss, and it was amazing, and all of a sudden it's that tire screeching of, hey, this is a big conflict.
Yeah.
You know, what's the starting point? What if one person sees it, the other doesn't?
Yeah. Well, I think that often happens, Ryan, that one person feels that pain a little bit more than the other, or one is willing to get the help. You know, the Bible is very clear. It says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, and the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I'm not going to say that every counseling session is perfect, but, you know, counseling could be going to a pastor. Counseling could be going to a couple who's been there further and kind of laying your life in front of them and saying, here's some roadblocks that we have. So the fact is that, you know, I know a couple who right now is reading Getting Ready for Marriage, and they've been married for 2 years. They said, boy, we needed this, you know, beforehand.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting that we wrote the book for those first few years. Those are foundational years, and actually Doug and I are working on some stuff on that right now. But again, when you see the yellow flag, get some help. Don't wait for the red flags. And if there are red flags that you just kind of passed right through in the Getting Ready for Marriage part, it's never too late. But start now.
Yeah.
It's never too early to start dealing with it. So, and if one person isn't willing to go get help, then I would say that the person who feels the need and that they should go. Because you really can't, you know, I've been trying to change Kathy for 40 years. She's been trying to change
me. Didn't work, huh?
It has not worked. So I can change one person, and that's me. And I think there's times when I need to go for my own spiritual and personal growth on my own.
Yeah.
And I also think that as couples, if they can also be in some kind of a support system, you know, every Tuesday I'm with 5 guys and we meet down at a restaurant and we talk about our life, and I'm a better husband and a better parent because I meet with these men.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have done that when I was younger. I didn't at my early stages. And I honestly think that today, because I'm a better husband and a father, because I have these guys, I wish I would have done that younger.
Sure.
And I'm suggesting to any couple to make sure that you have individual support, make sure you have couple support. That's huge.
Yeah.
We really want to also get in front of churches too, Ryan, to have – if churches would begin to talk more about marriage and not just go, let's do a 1 week, you know, marriage message throughout the year and then we check that off. But, you know, if the churches would begin to talk more about marriage, talk more about brokenness, talk more about struggles, say we've got some small groups happening, once a quarter we're doing a date night, that marriage – becomes more a part of the vernacular of the church.
Right.
And
which it's gone. I think that's one of the reasons why there's this younger generation saying, should we get married or not? Like, is that even an important thing as we've stopped talking about that it's the foundation of society?
Yeah.
Everything else is built upon the family. The family starts with a couple.
Yeah. We have a friend, and you may know Ted Cunningham. He's written several books. Yeah. But Ted has a church in Branson, Missouri, and one Sunday a month is all dedicated to marriage.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's pretty radical that whatever he's on, whatever series he's on, he will make one message that is about marriage and family, because he wants the whole congregation to say, this is primary important.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's neat. You know, Homeward has four values that Doug and I came up with: strong marriages, confident parents, empowered kids, and healthy leaders. And what we're trying to do is help churches take on those values, frankly, and make that a part of the DNA of a church. You know, there's a phrase that says, when you reach the family, you reach the world. And that's what I appreciate about Family Talk and all that you're doing and that your father has done for many, many years with the incredible passion that he has. But, you know, in so many ways, you could be of a different belief system. You still love your family. So I think what we've done is we have to make sure that, you know, that we're caring for those kinds of values. Well, the church should be that place, because when the church is that place, then people will go, oh, I go to this church because they saved my marriage. They got me prepared for marriage. They have helped me with my kids. But a lot of times people don't think of the church being that place. So I believe that's a major spot. That's why for us with this Getting Ready for Marriage project is, you know, we're infiltrating the church. We're trying to hand this to pastors who are doing the premarital counseling.
Yeah.
The counselors, of course, also, but pastors, marriage mentors, man. We got to do it.
Yeah. 75% of all weddings are done by pastors, some type of clergy. So if 75% would say, hey, you're not going to get married until you go through this, read this, experience this. It's part of what we wanted to do with our online app, is that we want to help a pastor say, send a couple to gettingreadyformarriage.com. They go through these six sessions, bring the certificate to you. You've just cut down your counseling load. We want to serve you and help you.
Sure.
Then you say, okay, they've already moved the ball most of the way down the field. I'll meet with them once or twice.
Absolutely.
And we move from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, today, if you turn the TV on, virtually every sitcom has dysfunctional marriages where they make fun of husbands and wives. They make fun of each other. The big joke is once you get married, you stop having sex and you stop having fun. It becomes this constant lifelong fight and your kids are crazy and you don't know how to raise them. I mean, everywhere you look, we're just trashing marriage. Help me answer the question, is marriage worth the work to make it successful? You know, is it worth it? Is a good marriage, is marriage in general worth the work it takes to make it successful? Because what we're talking about today sounds like a lot of work. I think people are like, oh my goodness, I'm so busy. I got so much going on. You want me to do more things, Ryan? I mean, I can heap more work on top of me. Is it worth the investment?
Yeah. It's not more things. It's the right priority. And it builds a legacy of health. When you start looking at people who have good marriages, typically there's more value that is placed on parenting and on families, and there's less baggage, and it just continues. I mean, the culture, I mean, it's a joke how they put that stuff out there. But the way for a kid to say no, that a marriage is important, is to watch their parents work on it, to be people of integrity, to be people with authenticity, to view marriages. You know, media is so important, and it does influence, no doubt. But you know what? Nothing is going to influence more than, you know, couples who are making a commitment to living it out, having a much more steady life and a steadfast life. And sure, it takes work, but it's well worth it. I mean, anybody who has a good marriage goes, it's worth it. You know, people who haven't put it, you know, I in the devotional time earlier at the, you know, here in your ministry, I said there's pain in life. It's either the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. Well, the pain of discipline, you know, gives incredible benefit, incredible fruit. Marriage is of high value. And, you know, my goal in life, because I came from a family that was, you know, pretty much dysfunctional, was for me to change the trajectory of marriage in the Burns family so that my girls will make some of the same decisions that Kathy and I have made. And from generation to come, one of the purposes is for parents to mentor their kids, and the kids then live a life of faith and legacy.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. So it's well worth it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Nobody said it would be easy.
You know, I love that you guys are talking about it because it's been worth it to you.
Yeah.
You've put the work in. You've made the commitment. You do something once a year. You've written about it. You've seen other people in it. And yours, it's fulfilling. Mm-hmm. It's fun. You know, my parents, it's so funny. They've celebrated their 54th wedding anniversary and then went on vacation together. Mm-hmm. Because after 54 years, what they really, really want to do is go away together with nobody else.
Yeah, that's neat.
You know, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what everyone wants. I think it's just there's that question of, but can I get it? I mean, everywhere I look, marriage is failing. Everywhere I look, it's being made fun of. Everywhere I look, it's being bashed. Can I really have it? Can I really have the relationship that lasts a lifetime? Can I really have one where I actually want to spend time with my spouse for decades and decades with, you know, the same, you know, that's the big thing of you're going to be married to the same person every day, the rest of your life, you know?
Right.
But shouldn't it be, I get to be married to this person for the rest of my life?
Right.
That's what I want. That's what everybody wants.
Right. Yeah.
And you're saying that it's worth it. It's been worth it for you.
And it's an investment. You got to put energy into it.
Well, and you also said, Ryan, that everywhere you look, that's not actually true. Because if you look a little bit harder, you're going to see people that are married and like your parents and like me and Kathy and others who go, hey, look over this way.
Yeah.
But, you know, a good
marriage.
You've
got 30 years. Jim, you've got 40. My parents have 50. I've got 9. I mean, yeah.
But see, a really good marriage and having fun together, and that doesn't make for a good sitcom. Let's be honest. So, you know, there's just
great points.
So it's not everywhere you look. It's just every channel you turn. But I think if couples just take a little bit of time and, you know, that's why the body of Christ is so beautiful, is that there are people that have walked with Jesus for a long time, that have been married, that are in your church, that you could find and go, okay, I want to look at your marriage. I want to watch it. You know, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We're going to follow your marriage and we're going to learn from it. You know, I was a teenager when I met Jim. I was in eighth grade and he was my youth pastor. And there was a lot of marriages that broke up around that youth ministry, a lot of the volunteers and some of the people in that church. And I was getting real disillusioned. And I remember saying to Jim, if your marriage tanks, I don't believe in marriage anymore at all, you know, because there are some ugly scenes out there, but there's also some beautiful scenes as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the books I've written on marriage, I write in the introduction thanking my wife, Kathy, and saying, more than anything, I want our three kids to experience what you and I have.
Yeah.
So my answer is yes, yes, yes. It's beautiful. It's worth the work. For some, you know, Jim talks about having a high maintenance marriage. Kathy and I haven't had a high-maintenance marriage. We've had kind of a pretty easy marriage. We felt like we married our best friends, and we stayed best friends and have, you know, kind of had it easy. I realize not all marriage is easy.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Jim and I make a good combo. He's had a high-maintenance marriage that he's really had to work at. We haven't. It hasn't been
sure.
Easy. We've had drama, the whole bit. But it hasn't always felt like, oh, what another burden today is.
Sure.
You know? But, you know, Ryan, there's something that Doug and I have done on stage at things. And I happened to have a meal about a month ago in San Antonio, Texas, with a guy who influenced me. I wasn't a Christian and I became a Christian. He became my youth leader. His name is John Watson and his wife's name is Barbara. And I said, I want to be like John. I want to imitate John. Since he was my youth leader, then I went, what do you do? Well, I'm going to be a youth leader. I'm going to follow John. And I want a marriage like John and Barbara have. And I want to raise kids like they raised their three kids. And, you know, he was 10 years older than me. And then I meet him when he's in eighth grade. And, you know, we develop a relationship.
Yep.
And we did something on stage a while back where I think I forget how many people there were, but there were like, you know, 6, 7, 8. Maybe 7 people who somehow had an influence. I didn't know who some of those people were. I did know who the person that said, I met Doug and I wanted to be like Doug. And then we had a little 16-year-old guy talk about John Watson because John was on stage. John didn't know we were even doing this.
Wow.
But it was that legacy moment of
yep.
saying, that's how you build marriages. That's how you build life together by just finding people that in some ways, you know, as you said, Doug, you can imitate. And I was imitating John and Barbara.
Yeah.
They're not perfect.
Right.
You know? And yet part of my role was to also, because I believe so much in this man and I love his wife. He married way above himself. Actually, you did too.
Oh, yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
But in that.
That's why I got married so quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't want to figure it out.
Yeah. But you know what? I think it takes people believing in others too, believing that, you know, that marriage is good. Marriage is right. You know why? Because God honors a healthy marriage.
Yeah. It ought to be the commitment. You know, it's interesting when you're getting married and you say, if anybody, you know, can think of a reason why this shouldn't happen, speak now, forever hold your peace. But I think as people that attend a wedding or that are in groups of friends, maybe it's time to make a commitment with your friends and saying, you know what?
Yeah.
I see marriages falling apart all around me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to any of you. Can we make a commitment as a group of friends to where if someone's in trouble, can we come together and help? I mean, it'll be embarrassing. It'll be awkward. It'll be uncomfortable. It's going to cause, you know, some issues at times maybe. But wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it to go through the uncomfortable times to then all get to grow old together? Wouldn't that be nice? My parents have that with a lot of their friends. I mean, they've grown up together and they still do things together.
Yeah,
that's really beautiful. I wrote a book with a friend named Ted Lowe called Married People. It's a strategy for churches to have more of a marriage ministry. And Ted was in a small group with a couple. And this couple came to the group and said, we're getting a divorce. And the group said to them, no, you're not. And we're gonna surround you and do everything we can to bring healing and hope and help to your marriage. What do you need? And over a series of about a year, this small group came around them, and the guys met with the guys, the girls met with the girls, they helped with the kids, they sent them to marriage count, they did all this stuff. But It was this beautiful picture of what you just described on the married side, you know, as opposed to the pre-marriage side, where they came around and said, no, we're going to help you through this. That's a beautiful picture of what the church is.
Yeah, that's the body of Christ working in a positive way. Well,
and that's what you want everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what we all want everywhere, of a group of people going, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, Laura and I were talking about that recently. We have a friend that's thinking about getting remarried, and she said, you know, would you do the wedding? And I just said, I don't know. I want it to do well, but I've had marriages I officiated fall apart, and it hurt. You know, and I felt helpless at this situation. You know, if we're out of state or we're not that close anymore, whatever it is, I didn't know what to do. And I wish so much there were people around that were like, no, you don't have to do that. You know, we can work in this together. Wow. Before we go, any last words, anything that's not in the book that you're like, oh, should have included that, or just some of those early things. You know, there's this young idealistic couple out there and they've, you know, got puppy dog eyes for each other. And they're like, oh, it's going to be so great.
Well, for me, Ryan, I just keep thinking of once you begin to consider marriage, so many decisions have to be made. Who are we going to invite? What's the date? Where's it going to be? What's the flavor of the cake, color of the flowers, the size of the dresses? Who's going to officiate? Who's going to be in it? There's just so much to do in such little time. And any type of premarital education gets blown off. And I want to say to, you know, anybody in that situation or anybody who knows somebody in that situation, don't allow them to make that choice to not get help. And we've provided a book, a workbook, an online app. We've pretty much done everything then other than just bring them into our home and say, okay, live with us. We're going to give premarital counseling to you. So that's my biggie is don't go down that road and spend so much time and money on a wedding but not plan for a marriage.
Awesome.
I was thinking, Ryan, as I'm looking at you, 9 years ago, I stood before you and I said two things. One is I said to Laura, and I don't know if you'll remember this, marrying Ryan, life will never be boring. And the whole crowd laughed and went, amen. But secondly, I gave a scripture that a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And what God has brought together, let no one separate. And it's funny because my eyes are welled up with tears. Yours are a little bit here in the studio. But the truth is that no one said it would be easy. But don't, I would say to these people, don't do pre-marriage and don't do marriage without God's input.
Yeah.
And without bringing the Lord into it. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he promises a oneness that Doug and I say in the book is called authentic oneness. I think it's very possible to move toward authentic oneness if you take his word. That word happens to come out of Matthew 19, 4 through 6.
Awesome. Thank you both. I appreciate it. Thank you for what you're doing for marriages, for these couples out there. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like. I was at a fundraiser the other day for a pro-life group, and I said, you know, it's fun. Every time I go to one of those, I kind of stand in the corner before it starts to watch people arrive. And they see someone from across the room like, hey, it's you! They get this big smile, and they beeline form, and then there's this commotion. I don't have any idea what they're saying, but it's all good because it's a celebration to come together. And I think, what a neat time when we all get to heaven and you get to meet every couple that was influenced by this or the app or the online or the workbook. And they go, we were married for this long and it started with that. What an amazing celebration that'll be.
That's neat.
Thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
Well, I hope that anyone who is close to getting married or knows someone who is will pick up a copy of this book today. There are so many wise and tested principles throughout this book that will help every couple begin their marriage on the right foot. We've been listening to the conclusion of a program titled Getting Ready for Marriage here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about Jim and Doug's new book or their ministry, Homeward, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.